Because it is finished, there is a sweet by and by. It's our hope this morning. I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and also Revelation chapter 1. We'll read from there in a little bit, but the subject of the message today is the now and forever living Christ. After the death and burial of Christ, the Bible tells us of some women that came to the tomb of Jesus. As they came, they were sad. They had a defeated spirit. They were somewhat discouraged. Matthew tells us in Matthew 28 and verse 1 that they came to see the sepulcher. Mark tells us in Mark 16 and verse 1 that they had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint the body of Jesus Christ. So they were coming to perform one last labor of love for their Lord. They came to finish anointing his body. And these women, as they made their way toward the tomb, they were concerned. They were concerned on how they were going to remove the huge stone which stood at the entrance of that tomb. Mark tells us that they came, coming to the tomb, they said among themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" You see, to them that stone was an obstacle. But not only that, that stone represented to them the finality of death. To them that stone said, "He is gone. He is gone forever." But when the women arrived at the tomb, we know that the Lord had already taken care of the stone. Matthew tells us in Matthew 28 and verse 2, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." And Luke tells us that when they came, they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. The Lord did not roll away the stone so that Jesus could come out of the tomb. He rolled away the stone so that they could look inside and see that the tomb was indeed empty. But the Lord not only removed the obstacle of the stone, in so doing, he removed the obstacle of the soldiers. We read again in Matthew 28 and verse 4, "And for fear of him," that is the angel that rolled back away the stone, "the keepers did shake and became as dead men." So with the stone rolled away and the soldiers a non-factor, the angel said in Matthew 28, verse 5 and 6, he says, "I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. He is not here. He is risen." And we want to think about those words, "for he is risen." That is the central part of the angel's message. It was a message of hope to those women that day. It was a message of optimism. It was a message of confidence. It was a message of life. It was a message of victory for these women. And may we never forget the message of that angel, "for he is risen." And that message is just as fresh today, is just as real today as it was more than 2,000 years ago. Now notice in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. We have the words of Jesus. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. I want to take the thought of the message from these two verses. Some may wish that they could have been present that Sunday when the angel announced to the women at the sepulcher, he is risen. You may wish that you could have looked into that sepulcher and seen the empty tomb and seen the grave clothes and the napkin folded. But none of that's necessary. It's not necessary for me to have been at that sepulcher and heard those words, he is not here, he is risen. It was not necessary for me to be able to look into the tomb, because every single day I can hear the announcement made all over again. Every time I read, but now is Christ risen. But now is Christ risen. And two very important words there are those two words, now is. But now is Christ risen. It's not just a fact of history that Christ arose from the dead. Now is Christ risen. And I can read that every day. And as I do, that announcement is made again and again and again. I can read in Revelation 1 and 8, verse 18. And I can hear Jesus personally say, as he did to John, I am he that liveth. I am he that liveth and was dead. But it gets better than that. It's not only that he lives, but he says, behold, I am alive forevermore. Not only do I live, I will always live, is what Jesus is saying. So we want to consider those words today. When Jesus was crucified, his enemies, I'm sure, thought that they had defeated and done away with Jesus Christ. I'm sure it brought them great delight. I'm sure it brought them great pleasure as they took the motionless, mangled body of Christ down from the cross. As he was wrapped in that winding sheet and put in a tomb, I'm sure that that gave them great joy. But their joy was short-lived. But when Sunday came, the amazing news was announced. He's not here. He's not here. He's not in the sepulcher. Look everywhere you want in that sepulcher. Look everywhere you want in that tomb. Look in every corner. He's not here. He is risen. His enemies thought, we have killed him. We've put him in the tomb. It's all over with him. We have finally ridded ourselves of Jesus Christ. But when Sunday came, Jesus, the Son of God, came out of that tomb. And he is now is risen. So here we are on April 4th, 2010, and the message still rings loud and clear, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Consider again those words, but now is Christ risen from the dead, and consider I am he that liveth. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Consider those words in the light of who Jesus Christ is. The day that Jesus Christ rose from the tomb, and the day that the angel triumphantly declared he is not here but is risen, that was a day of declaration. It was a day that declared that Jesus Christ is everything that he said he was. It's a day that declared he is God. And when I read today, but now is Christ risen, that is a declaration that Jesus Christ is God. Whatever it is that you may think about Jesus Christ, whatever your opinion of Jesus Christ is, he is God. He is God. No matter who you think he is God. And no matter who you think he is today, he is King. And he is Lord. And he is the Lord of glory. And the fact that he came out of that tomb is proof that he is the one and the only Savior of sinners. And he is the one and only Redeemer of sinners. Those words, but now is Christ risen. He who has all power in heaven and earth, and who can do more than you and I could ever ask or think, he is now risen. He lives. We do not speak of Jesus Christ in the past tense. He is a living reality today. He is not just a figure that we read about on the pages of this book. He is a living individual today. He lives. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Jesus Christ, the greatest one, the most significant one who has ever lived, the most important individual that has ever lived and has ever walked upon this earth, now is risen. And that means that you and I have somebody that we must give account to. But now is Christ risen. When Christ rose from the tomb, the angel declared he's not here, but is risen. And that was a declaration that God the Father was 100% fully satisfied with the offering of Jesus Christ. And today, I can read, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Today I can hear Jesus say, I am he that liveth and was dead. And I am alive forevermore. And I know, as I read those words and as I believe those words, I know that God is still satisfied. That God the Father is still satisfied with my sins being laid upon Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ enduring the full penalty of those sins. God is still satisfied with that. Again, read the words of Paul. Hear what Paul said. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Hear what Jesus said. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And hear that and know that God is fully satisfied with the offering of Jesus Christ. You see, all of my sins were placed upon Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ bore all the guilt. He bore all the guilt of my sin. And the fact that Jesus Christ came out of the tomb says that God is satisfied with Jesus Christ bearing all the guilt of my sin. That means I'm innocent. I'm innocent. I'm justified. He bore my guilt. It also means that God the Father is satisfied with Jesus Christ being charged with the debt of my sin. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you have a debt. You have a debt. You may not know anything about it, but you have a debt today that you cannot pay. It is a debt that far, far exceeds our national debt. It is a, if you could put all the debts together throughout human history, it is a debt that far, far exceeds such a debt. It is a debt beyond calculation. It is a debt beyond imagination. It is a debt that cannot possibly be paid by man. But Jesus Christ paid my sin debt in full. It's all paid for in Jesus Christ. I can do nothing to pay that debt. I can do nothing to alleviate that debt. Nothing. You cannot do enough works, good works, to alleviate such a debt. Because every day you add to that debt as a lost sinner. But Jesus Christ paid my sin debt. And when Jesus Christ came forth from the tomb, God is saying, I am fully satisfied with the debt that Jesus Christ, my Son, has paid. It also declared that God is satisfied with Jesus Christ being accountable for my sin. So those words, but now is Christ risen from the dead, are a declaration that God is satisfied. God is satisfied with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Don't you dare try to add to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It is sufficient. It is sufficient. And God is satisfied with what Christ has done. When Christ rose from the tomb and the angel declared he's not here but is risen, that was also a declaration that Jesus Christ was victorious over his enemies. When Christ was crucified, it appeared for a little while that the world had conquered Jesus Christ. But when Jesus Christ came out of that tomb, he conquered the world. And when I read the words, but now is Christ risen, now is Christ the conqueror of the world. It's not simply that he conquered the world. It is he is now the conqueror of the world. It also appeared when Christ was crucified that the devil had the victory. But when Jesus Christ came out of that sepulcher, he came out victorious over the devil. He was victorious over the devil. And now is Christ risen from the dead. That means Satan right now, Satan is a defeated foe. Satan is a vanquished enemy for the child of God. Now is Christ risen. It's not simply that Christ defeated the devil. He is still the conqueror over Satan today. Jesus Christ was crucified. Again, it appeared, of course, that death had conquered Jesus Christ. But the fact is that Jesus Christ entered death's domain and he conquered death. Now is Christ risen from the dead. And now for the child of God, death is merely the doorway from this land of sorrow
to being forever with the Lord, where every tear shall be wiped away, and we'll forever be in the glorious presence of God, the glorious presence of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Death is now a defeated foe for the child of God. When they took the body of Jesus from the cross, and that body was put in the tomb, it appeared that Christ was put away forever. But he came out of that sepulcher, and he came out conquering the grave. And today I can walk from the cemetery when you lay to rest a child of God, and you know that that grave has been conquered. That grave has been conquered by Christ. Now is Christ risen from the dead. Right now, that grave is already conquered. It is a defeated foe, and it is unable to hold us. Again, you and I weren't there when the angel announced he's not here, but he's risen. But I can hear that every day. Now is Christ risen from the dead. And I can hear Jesus say, I am he that liveth. I was dead, but behold, I live and I am alive forevermore. And because of that, you and I that are saved, life is worth living. The one who has brought more comfort, more cheer to the despondent than any other, lives right now. The one who has brought more hope than any other lives right now. The one who has put more smiles on people's faces than any other is now risen. And life is worth living. Life is worth living because Jesus lives. And because now is Christ risen from the dead, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. It's not a waste of time to serve Jesus Christ. It's not in vain. Because we're not serving someone who's lying in a grave somewhere. We're serving a living and reigning Christ. We are serving a forever living Christ. It's not in vain. Oh, some of you who may think that you might waste your time, that you might miss out on something, it's not in vain. It's not in vain to serve Jesus Christ. It's not in vain to be surrendered to Jesus Christ. It's not in vain to be dedicated to Jesus Christ. And it is not in vain to preach Jesus Christ everywhere we go to lost sinners, because He lives, and it's not in vain. So, whatever the circumstances, again, notice those two words, now is. Whatever the circumstances of your now is, whatever those circumstances are, view them in light of this fact. But now is Christ risen from the dead. He is not only risen, but He forever lives. So view your circumstances in light of the fact of a risen, living Savior and rejoice. Your now is may be a time of trials. Your now is may be a time of sorrows. Your now is may be a time of persecution. Your now is may be a time of great weakness. It may be a time of pain. It may be a time of disease and and failing health. Your now is may be a time of difficulties. Your now is may be a time of great perplexities. But when you can read and believe, but now is Christ risen from the dead. And when you can feel like John felt Jesus Christ laying his hand upon you and saying, "Fear not, I am he that liveth. Behold, I am alive forevermore." That will fill you with confidence. There is a confidence to be possessed today. There is a confidence to be had today. And it's based upon the fact that Jesus Christ lives. There is confidence. There is assurance. There is peace. Those are things that are very rare in today's world. There's not much confidence today. There's not much assurance today. And there's certainly not much peace today. But I can have confidence. I can have assurance. I can have peace because I know that now is Christ risen from the dead. The one who forever lives, who is our guide, who is our helper, who is our sustenance. He's our caregiver. He's our provider. He's our defender. And because he now lives, I never have to take a step alone. Never. Whatever the now is, I never have to take a step alone. I never have to face a trial alone. Because he's my guide. He's my defender. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Again, Jesus Christ, I hope and pray today is more to you than just a story upon a page of a book. I hope he's more to you than just some historical figure. He lives. He lives. Does our life manifest the fact that Jesus Christ is a living Savior? He's not some picture hanging on a wall. He's not some emblem on a cross. He's a living Savior of power, with love, with sympathy. Does our life manifest that we have a living Savior? Again, the angel announced he's not here, but is risen. And I can read that every day. And when I read that, I know the gospel stands. But now is Christ risen from the dead. And I know that there is hope. There is hope for the sinner. There is good news for the lost sinner today. There is a message of life today for the lost sinner. There is a message of victory for the lost sinner. You see, because Jesus Christ, God the Father, has made a way through and in Jesus Christ, a way that you can be free from sin. And because he lives, the unrighteous, the guilty, the godless, rebellious, filthy sinner can be cleansed because Jesus Christ lives. That sinner can be forgiven. That sinner can be accepted by God. And that's true of each and every one of us here today. If you do not know Christ, I'm telling you this is a message of hope for your soul. There is a way of escape Your life does not have to continue the way it is going. There is peace with God. There is forgiveness with God. There is a cleansing from the condemnation. There is a deliverance from the condemnation. There is a cleansing from the pollution of sin. It's all because of what Jesus has done. It's all because Jesus Christ lives today. But I also would like to remind you, because He lives, that is a message of hope. But it is also a reminder that if you leave this life without Jesus Christ, there is a dreadful day of judgment for you. You will stand before Jesus Christ. And whatever your thoughts of Jesus Christ are right now, you will stand before Him as He is. Not as you think He is. Not as you have imagined. You will stand before Him as He is. And you will have no one to take up your cause. Notice in closing in the book of Philippians and also the book of Revelation. But the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 9 says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Because Jesus Christ lives, that day, my friend, is coming. You will stand before Him. There is hope for you today. But you leave this life without Christ, and a dreadful day is coming. Then notice in the book of Revelation, chapter 20. We'll read verse 11, we'll read verse 12, we'll read verse 15. "And I saw a great white throne, Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away." That is, they tried to find a hiding place. They tried to flee. "And there was found no place for them." You will stand before Christ. You will stand there in all your sin. And you'll want so bad to be able to get away. But there was found no place for them. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." And verse 15 says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Because Christ lives, you leave this life without Christ, that's dreadful. Jesus said three times over in John chapter 8, "You shall die in your sins." The worst thing that can happen to any human being is to die in your sins. Nothing worse than that. So if you're here today without Jesus Christ, you are in danger. You are in danger of dying in your sins. You are in danger of leaving this life without Jesus Christ. You are in imminent danger. There's hope. There's hope. There's hope in the person and in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Turn from your sins. Place all your trust in Jesus Christ. Lean upon Him entirely. He's your only hope. There is no other way. You may say, well, I'm just trying to do the best I can. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't care how hard you try. You are going to fail. You are going to fail miserably. And you will die in your sins. And you will have that dreadful day when you will stand before Jesus Christ, not as a Savior, but as a judge. But there's hope today. That's what I want you leaving here realizing. There's hope today. If you're here without Jesus Christ, there is hope for you today. There is hope for your loved ones today. There is hope. But it is only in Christ. You've got to do something. Herod said, what shall I do with Jesus? What shall I do with Christ? You've got to do something with Christ today. You've got to do something with Him every single day. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? You've got to do something with this message and every message that you hear like it. You've got to do something with it. And you are doing something with it right now, and you will leave this building doing something with it. But I'm telling you, He's your only hope. He is your only hope today. We that know the Lord today, we're not better than anyone here. We're not better than the lost and guilty sinner. But I am better off. And I'm better off all because of Jesus Christ. So that you could go from here today knowing that there is hope. There is hope. And that hope is in a living Savior. Brother Larry, if you'd